Hey, everybody. Before we get started on the episode, I just want to let you know that if we sound a little lethargic and logy on this one, it's because we spent the entire night before screwing each other's brains out and smoking cocaine. So, without further ado... Hi, everyone. Welcome to Meet the Rockadopolis. I'm Yislike Rockadopolis.
And I'm Lance Rockadopolis.
And today we're going to talk about a challenge given to us, not specifically, but to all kinksters, to ask ourselves why we do kink. Why do we do what we do? But first, a shout out to the entire city of London. We'll be there in less than 2 weeks, and a couple of Londoners have already reached out to us, so super excited. I'll just keep getting more and more excited. It's been 24 years since I've been there. All right, so let's get started. Over the last few months, I've developed a bit of an obsession with a few right-wing YouTubers. People like Arielle Scarcella, she's the sexiest. Peter Boghossian, not very sexy. Matt Walsh, Amala Ekpunobi, pretty sexy. Chris Williamson, who is very easy on the eyes. And they also have very interesting guests like Kathleen Stock, super sexy, and Jordan Peterson, not at all sexy. And Douglas Murray, sexy if he were straight. And Helen Joyce, another TERF like Kathleen Stock, and God help me, Richard Dawkins. Ugh. So the fact is that I'm never going to not vote for the most liberal candidate on the ballot. But it's just so soothing to listen to people who continuously make sense. And I think what's drawing me to these thinkers is that their rhetoric tends to be very logical and systematic and also, surprisingly, fresh. And it's honestly just relaxing to me when I listen to them. It's kind of like an intellectual spa treatment of sorts, a mental cleansing after my obligatory daily stroll through Fetlandia. And of course, it also gives me that transgressive thrill. Like, what if my dad found out? He's an 82-year-old pot-smoking hippie. Would he shoot me like Marvin Gaye's daddy did? Would he disown me and leave me out of his will? Oh no, I don't get any of those signed first editions of Gary Snyder poems. Oh, whatever will I do? But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I'm scrolling through YouTube and Matt Walsh's show comes up and he's showing a clip of a young sex therapist talking about Bill Cosby, of all people, about how Bill Cosby had drugged at least one woman, Andrea Constand, and then sexually assaulted her after she passed out. And the sex therapist was saying, if fucking unconscious people was Cosby's fetish, he should be able to pay a woman to be consensually drugged and mess around with her body while she was passed out. So first of all, I have to say that I don't think that the sex therapist evinces a strong understanding of what motivates the average sex offender. When Cosby sexually assaulted Andrea Constand, it wasn't like a necrophilia fetish. It was a deliberate violation of his victim's will. Anyone who ever went to a no means no workshop in college will know that sexual assault isn't about sex, it's about power. And that the majority of would-be rapists actually can't even get their dicks hard enough to penetrate. It's not about fucking, it's about violating. Regardless, Matt's issue with the YouTuber's clip is that he believes that consent should not be the de facto moral standard for American sexual culture, right? consent is not enough. We need to have higher standards, according to Matt. Sex should only be about love, devotion, fidelity, human dignity. And he asserts that kink, along with other non-vanilla varieties of sexual experience, breeds regret, exploitation, degradation. And he finishes the episode by exhorting kinksters in particular to ask themselves why we do kink. Here's the quote. If you have a weird, gross sexual fetish, you should be asking yourself why you have it. What is it about this depraved activity that you find so appealing? And so today, we're going to answer this question as honestly and sincerely as possible. But first, just to be fair, we'll take a moment or two to ask why not. Literally, why should people not do kink? What's the problem? And in fact, there are some potential problems associated with engaging in kinky activities. So to be fair and equitable in our discussion, first we'll talk about reasons to not do kink, and then we'll answer Mike's question, why do we do kink? So the first reason that I could think of is that kink is potentially physically dangerous. Some of the more popular kinky activities require a significant amount of skill and knowledge in order to do those kinks safely, like rope bondage, and especially aerial rope bondage, and any kind of play that ruptures the skin. Infection's an issue, hitting an artery could be an issue. Breath play is an obvious example of a dangerous kink. There's also fire play, impact play. There probably aren't that many types of kinky play that aren't dangerous in some way. Of course, that could be said about most aspects of being alive. Another reason to not do kink is that kinky play is generally not legally protected, regardless of whether or not both the top and the bottom have consented. For example, in Colorado, battery is battery, whether or not the batteree has consented. And I think it's likely that the reason for this legal situation has to do with domestic violence, vanilla domestic violence, non-consensual. Cases where the battered person might be likely to defend the batterer. And for kinksters, it could also be a matter of injury from kinky play, maybe from an overly risky scene. So perhaps the fear of legal ramifications might be helpful to keep some of us kinky tops from getting sloppy or from going too far. Another example of problems with kink is that the kink world does often inadvertently harbor sexual predators. Kink can also be addictive. The brain chemistry associated with kinky play includes lower cortisol and higher levels of testosterone, oxytocin, and dopamine, just to name a few. In the past, I've heard people talk about needing more and more intense play in order to get that chemical pleasure rush.
Yeah, I feel that there's some truth to that. In my experience, I'm always looking for the next extreme thing that we can do.
But is that about intensity or variety?
Yeah, it's about both, I think.
And maybe it's that new types of play are always more intense when we start doing them. That would make sense. Another problem with kink is that being exclusively kinky, like I am, can dramatically shrink your dating pool. First of all, kink is still stigmatized throughout much of the vanilla world, and so it can be hard to find partners if you don't live in or near larger metropolitan areas. I know people who will drive 4 hours or more for a play session. And even if you do live in a decent-sized metropolitan area, it can still be hard to find compatible partners. I mean, Lance and I are as compatible as it gets, but I still have to drive 60 miles one way to see him every other weekend.
Yes, you mentioned dating pool. It's one of the primary reasons why I classified myself as a switch when I first got on to FetLife. This is prior to my understanding of who I was. And at that time, I did see that as a potential limitation. You know, I didn't want to limit myself on who I met or interacted with just because of my classification as, like, if I were to self-classify as a sub or slave.
Right. Well, you I don't approve of that, Lance.
Water under the bridge.
True. I'm going to punish you for it anyway. There's also the closet. Chances are, if you're active in the community or even privately, you're going to have to hide that fact from people close to you. Certainly family members for most of us, and even some close friends. And that really sucks. I hate it, and I can't wait to have the resources to make it so that I can be free from the closet.
One reason that I can think of why we shouldn't do it is that it's kind of déclassé. I mean, losers and LARPers have adopted it. Even though 50 Shades of Grey portrays billionaires doing kink, it's kind of a truism that powerful people want to escape from their leadership roles. I think we've only met, like, really down-to-earth people and ordinary people.
Yeah, before I entered the community, I assumed it was going to be a lot classier, but no.
Yeah, I guess we haven't been invited to the right parties yet.
Hey, that is a point.
Another problem that I see people mention about the problem of kink is that it degrades society, you know, overall in general. They point to the fact that we're just serving to satisfy our own appetites, and it's for self-gratification. There is that potential that it fetishizes the individual or individualism in general. And that's the notion that this is just a demonstration of the personal ego, that in some way we're serving our individual likes and preferences over the common good. And because we see the spiritual and mystical in the practice, we may link that experience of pleasure and gratification to ourselves in such a strong way that it makes us our own personal religion. So this one troubles me the most because it sounds to me like there's a possibility of our understanding our own lives and life experience and subordinating that to, you know, like the basic hedonism. It's because something feels good, just go with it and do it for its own sake. Is that compatible with the social good?
Yeah, and of course I've stated many times that I think kink does serve the social good by critiquing society, and that critique has the potential of improving society. Kink is also good for your health. I'm a top, so I'm not getting the brain chemistry that Lance does, but I've been very noticeably happier overall since I embraced my kinkiness, and my mental and physical health have benefited. And my subjective felt experience is that my mental and physical health have benefited significantly since I did start doing kink. Studies have shown that those brain chemicals that could be addictive are, of course, associated with lower blood pressure, better immune system, better heart health, improved self-esteem, decreased depression and anxiety, increased libido, of course, immediate natural pain relief. That one's ironic. Better sleep, increased intimacy and closeness to a sexual partner, overall stress reduction, both physically and emotionally.
This is something that we've talked about in the past. Another positive would be that I love the clarity that this type of relationship fosters. I think it helps me in my relationship with you to have me subordinate to you. I don't think that I can be with a non-dominant person. I don't like it when I don't hear a clear order, like, come up to my place on Friday, or some other command. I'll try to find ways to get out of my obligations to you if those desires or commands aren't expressed in some unambiguous way. I think I need to know that you are clear on what you want. And that's what I get out of it, that clarity.
Yeah, I mean, I get clarity out of it too. I get a lot out of having to be clear and communicate clearly. So it's definitely a win-win situation there. The intimacy piece is a big part of it for me. I knew I was a sexual sadist from a very early age. And because of that, I never felt truly comfortable being intimate with my partners in sexual situations. And that was bad for my relationships and for my sense of self. In addition, kink has really freed me intellectually. It's not so much that I love the discourse that I found when I started exploring the kink community. It's more that my self-acceptance freed my mind to explore all kinds of different ways of thinking, as though all of those ways of thinking had already been sort of skulking around in the shadowy corners of my brain throughout my 25 years in academia. Not that academic discourse can't be sexy, it definitely can be, but when I was in the academic world, I was just really too repressed to fully appreciate it. So we've already started talking about why we do kink. Another reason is that it's transgressive of social norms. That's big. That's obviously big for me. And that just by itself, just thinking about that turns me on. Like Matt Walsh, I believe in the freedom of expression, and that society needs its dissenters. I'm sure Matt considers himself a dissenter of one kind or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned transgression of social norms. I really like this one in the context of our relationship. Our relationship is such a powerful demonstration against male patriarchy.
I think you just say patriarchy because that's, you know, it's always going to be male.
Okay. Our relationship is such a powerful demonstration against patriarchy. Early on, we talked about you getting other slaves. You even said that I could limit you and that you were willing to give that up. But I was not okay with that. That really changed my conception of relationships in general, and how that if I were to say no, that can be perceived as me trying to own you. And I have to admit to myself that if I really was a slave, I shouldn't have that ability to limit you. On the contrary, you do have that ability to limit me, and that's what I was looking for. So, really, this isn't the whole cuckold dynamic with the wife transgressing the husband and the husband reclaiming the wife after that transgression. That's sort of what we're against. But what it is that I can never have that freedom in the first place to lay any claim on you, and that's what's very sexy to me.
Another reason why I do kink, and I think this is true at least partly for Lance, is that sexuality is a big part of being a human animal, and all signs point to the fact that my sexual orientation is sexual sadism. So consent is actually huge for me, without consent, I wouldn't have a sex life. Plus, you know, it's just fun to be kinky. It gives us sexual pleasure. It's life affirming and potentially very transgressive if you want to see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly love my role as a submissive, and it basically gives me comfort. But also, another reason would be, and I can see why Matt Walsh would have a problem with this, is that I'm trying to process a past trauma. And we've talked about this in the bullying episode. My relationship with my bullies is something, or my understanding of what happened is something that I'm trying to get a control over. And this practice helps me with that struggle. And I don't think that it's something that I'll ever get over, but it helps me cope with that past trauma.
Many different types of kinky play allude to and often invert mainstream social practices, and we've talked about them quite a bit on this podcast. The kink world could be seen as a kind of dollhouse where symbols of the outside world intersect with a person's private mental construct of that world. It's a space where truth can be told about abuse and exploitation, and then those truths can be transformed, and then truth can be transformed and released, or transformed and turned into pleasure in the body.
Interesting. And that's what you pointed out to me in reading the Marquis de Sade's work, is that objection or critiquing of societal hypocrisy.
That's his whole project.
Yeah, for me, kink promotes self-development. I think that I've gained such a better understanding of relationships in general, and our relationship in particular, because we are doing kink. It requires us to ask a lot of questions about each other and our motivations. It also helps me overcome mental limitations. I mean, the whole thing about pain processing is very big and helps me understand what my limits are and what really will cause me physical harm.
Yeah, we're coming up with so many different interesting topics just for this one episode, just on the side. So we're never going to be out of things to talk about, that's for sure. So anyway, Matt, I know you don't respect my lifestyle, but I still like and respect you for several reasons. You're funny, you're smart, you're sincere, or you certainly come across that way. You seem to be a good husband and father, and you're an autodidact. But the thing is, the reason why I can respect you, even though I know you don't respect me, is that I respect myself. After decades of aggressively kink-shaming my own kinks, I finally embraced them. And that was the point where I really began to love and respect who I am. So, kind kinksters, thank you very much for joining us today. Our next episode will be about anglophilia. Until then, have a great week. Thank you.